See, I think that's on now. And that one's... Let's open our Bibles once again this morning to the book of Ephesians. We, of course, are kind of working inch by inch through this book here. With conference being in the book of Colossians last weekend, you're actually going to see that there are a lot of parallels between these two books, Ephesians and Colossians. So we will be going back and forth. But today we're going to continue here at verse 3 in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 3. It's, in fact, does everybody have this memorized, this verse memorized? You probably do, right? Let's see if we can all say it out loud together. Ready? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, that's pretty good. So even if you didn't have it memorized, well, now you got one memorized, right? So you're doing pretty good. Just add one a day and you'll be fine with the whole lifetime of verses. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you that we can spend a little bit of time here as a local family of believers, gathered together for the express purpose of studying your word and allowing your word to change us from the inside out, to change our thinking, to change our inner man, to build us up in the faith, to conform us to the image of your dear Son. And especially as we think this morning about the reality of these blessings that you've given us in Christ and the heavenly places and how that they are indeed real, that would enable us and equip us to look at time and experience this thing we call life in time from the heavenly position that you've given us in Christ. In whose name we do pray. Amen. Well, you can see, once again, we started looking at verse 3 2 weeks ago. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that regardless of how often you see in the book of Ephesians here that there are exhortations to me and you about conduct and living life and the blessings that we have and so forth, remember, the book of Ephesians is all about God when you think about it. He starts off, blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father. It's really about Him. It's about what He's doing in time for eternity for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we looked at that word last time, 2 weeks ago, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember what the connection that we made with the word blessed? There was another word that it's associated with in the old... What's that? Somebody said it.
Happy.
Remember that? God's happy to bless you. He's excited about blessing anyone who will trust Christ. He is just thrilled about anyone who will trust Christ. He puts them into the body of Christ, and then He blesses them with all spiritual blessings. So it's important to remember that. All the things that the book of Ephesians says that God has done and will yet do, God's happy to do it. Isn't that exciting enough? He's not up there saying, oh man, I really got to bless Joe. Oh my goodness. I mean, now at least if he's wearing a tie, okay. Maybe that's not his thinking. God is not sitting up there in heaven with his hands crossed, looking at, you know, a snout across his face, looking down over the banister of heaven kind of thing, saying, if you just finally please him, then maybe he'll pull some little trinket out of his pocket and bless you with it. That's not all what's going on here. This book starts, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. This is a done deal. That's good. And now all we need to do is learn about it and let the reality of it impact our thinking, impact the inner man, and therefore equip us and enable us to go through this thing we call life. Did you ever need any assistance going through this thing we call life?
Yeah.
Anybody need any help getting through this thing? What do you think? You know? I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I said, you know, there's a whole lot worse addictions we could be addicted to, but this one's worth being addicted to, the Word of God, right? And the saints. We want to talk a little bit today, therefore, when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We want to, first of all, look at the us. Second, we want to look at this idea of spiritual blessings. Third, the heavenly places. And then, of course, fourth, the fact that it's in Christ. When he says here, us, remember the question that Beth asked during Sunday school, who's the us? Well, who is the us there? Who is that? It's the body of Christ, and it's who, therefore? Well, yeah, it's you, okay? But it is real important that we appreciate who the us actually is. It is you. It's the body of Christ. But look with me over to chapter number 2, and you want to see where God is taking us from. All right? Look over to Ephesians chapter 2. It says, and you have he quickened who were what? Listen, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, for in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who we were. We were children of disobedience. So we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were children of disobedience. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. So who were we pleasing?
Ourselves.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Whatever came into our mind, we decided we were going to do it, we went and did it. And it was just serving self. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, that's the us. When Paul says he's blessed us, do you see anything in the description in verse 1, 2, and 3, except the part where it says, hath he quickened, so just not that part there, because that's he's made us alive in Christ. But is there anything or anyone in verse 1 and 2 that is worthy of or deserves blessing? See, there's nothing. You talk about, like they talk about how, you know what the idea of raw materials are? Basic minerals, raw materials. They talk about the wealth of a country is not just its raw materials, such as, you know, the metals, the gold, the silver, the oil, things in the ground, that type of thing. It's crops, it's trees, things like that. But the most important raw material are the people of a country. They say that's the most important material of any country and so forth. Well, what does God have to work with in verse 1, 2, and 3? Got nothing to work with here. Well, dead in trespasses and sins, children of wrath, children of disobedience. We belong on the wrong side. And that's it. That's who he's sending this message out to. That's who he's taking the us from. That's who he's composing the us from. Not only that, if you look at a little bit further in the same chapter, he says at verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Watch this now. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So what does that say about the relationship between Gentiles and Israel? Yeah, see, it was huge, right? Israel, they belonged to God, we didn't. It says, strangers from the covenants of promise, so were the promises made with us? Having no hope. That's pretty devastating. And without God in the world. That's who he's taken us from. That's the raw material. He's got nothing to work with. Now you got to remember, God kind of specializes in having nothing to work with when creating something. Because the Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God, out of absolutely nothing, it didn't exist. God spoke and he brings the creation into existence. So, what God is doing today in compiling and creating the us, it is a new creature. In creating the us, there was nothing to work with there. Really and truly, when you think about it, we were dead in trespasses and sins, we were without hope and without God. But God sends this life-giving message out to the Apostle Paul, the gospel of the grace of God. And you believe that. And all of a sudden, I see your hand, Ken, but just give me that here. Look at chapter 2 again. Look at verse 8. It says, for by grace are you what? Saved. Through what? And that not of yourselves. No kidding. Was there anything in verse 1, 2, and 3, or verse 11 and 12, that could commend us to the grace of God? No. Was God obligated to us anyway? Is there anything in verse 1, 2, and 3, and verse 11 and 12 that made God our debtor?
No.
He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It must be. It has to be. There's no other way. There's nothing in describing the us, that this pool from which we come out of. The pool was filth. It was grotesque. It was disgusting. It was worthless, of no value at all to anyone. What gave it value was the blood of Christ. And then that verse says at verse 10, for we are His workmanship. What's the next word there?
Created.
See, God is doing a new creature today. God's creating again. The last time that God created and stopped creating was day 6 of the book of Genesis. And then He goes through this long period of time, almost 4,000 years of human history, and then starts the dispensation of grace, and He starts creating again. His word goes out. The gospel goes out. And if you believe it, boom, you're a new creature in Christ, created where His workmanship. That idea, we're not going to look at all in detail this morning, but the idea of His workmanship. This physical creation is described that way. He garnished the heavens. He takes His hands and He put the heavens and He formed and framed the earth and that type of thing with His hands, according to His plan and purpose. This earth, this physical creation, heaven and earth, were His workmanship created by Christ and for Christ. So too, the church, the body of Christ, is now created. We're His workmanship. We're something He's doing. See that? Truly, blessed be God who hath blessed us. Who? Nobody's nothing. We've become somebody. We've become something to Him because of the blood of Christ alone. Ken, you had a question or a comment there? Yeah, that's good. Is I didn't understand the question. Yeah, what I didn't understand the question is. Yes, without hope, without God, is that what you mean? Yes, yes, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so now you know who the us is. It's you know the pool from which we were taken out of. It's a pool of humanity, lost, condemned, doomed, worthless, vile, disgusting humanity. Now, is that how humanity looks at humanity? It depends on whether they're good or not, right? Right. But that's not generally what humanity thinks about humanity. We generally think we're pretty good, we're getting better, and that God is doing Himself a favor by saving us. See, that's, we tend to think well of ourselves and we belittle God. But truly to us, when you look at what the Apostle Paul reminds us about who we were, and therefore what it took for God to be able to do this, it took the blood of Christ. It took the Lord Jesus Christ. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, through His blood. We're reconciled by His death. That's what it took. There was no other way to give value to just to this. When evolutionists say that all this life came out of the slime pit, well, you know what? Evolution life didn't come out of it. There was this slime pit called humanity, dead in trespasses and sins, enemies of God, rebellious in their nature, children of wrath, children of disobedience, without hope, without God. So there's the slime pit of muck and mire right there. And it was the Word of God that came along and preached, and God creates life. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that wonderful to think about that? But not only does He give us life, He goes way beyond that. Watch this verse. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now watch this. "Who hath blessed us." Now you know who the us is now. Anyone who will trust the blood of Christ out of humanity. "Who hath blessed us." Okay, stop right there before we read the rest of it. Just the fact that He blessed us, does that sound like it's probably going to get pretty good from here? Yeah. God, who owns everything. God, the author and giver of life. He blesses us. He's the one doing the blessing. We don't bless Him. He blesses us. Now therefore, what do you know for sure about this God that Paul writes about? What do you know about Him? What are some things you know about Him? They kind of all, you're all speaking in tongues, right? All English, right? But yeah, He's a loving God. He's what? He's a giving God. He's for us. He's a giving God. He, what else? He's able to. Good. What else? He's expressive. Good. What else? He blesses us. He wants to. This is something out of the desire of His heart, not out of the desire of our heart. This is something that comes forth from Him. What was that now? He has a plan and a purpose. See that? Now let's keep reading. "He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We do need to slow down a little bit and talk about this idea of spiritual blessings. And one of the reasons is because there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. How often do you hear Christian people say, they say, "Well, God blessed me today," and then they fill in like, you know, "I was able to pay my mortgage this month," kind of a thing, you know. "Thank you, Lord," kind of a thing, you know. or "God blessed me today because I didn't run out of gas on the freeway," or "God blessed me today because my business is going well," or "God blessed me today because my kids clean their room without having to be told." You know what? People, when they think of blessing from God, what is it they almost automatically link it to? The physical, the material, the life here and now. All right? Now that verse says He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where?
In
heavenly places. So we want to make sure that we appreciate the nature. What are spiritual blessings? Okay? Well, let me look. We're going to look at a comparison, or contrast, maybe be a better way to say it, so that we can maybe appreciate to a greater degree what this idea of spiritual blessings are. What I want you to do is I want you to go back with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 6. 26. Leviticus chapter number 26 here. Leviticus chapter number 26 here. Look over to Leviticus chapter 26. In the context here, God is speaking to Moses, who in turn is speaking to and about the nation of Israel. And we're going to run down this. I want us to read this list as though we were living back then and as though we were the Israelites. Everybody follow what I'm asking us to do at this point? So, this is Leviticus 26. I want us to read this as though we were Israel, physically living back then, and Moses is telling us this from our God. Alright? He says this, verse 3. He says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my covenants and do them, commandments, I'm sorry, thank you. Verse 4, then I will give you what? Okay, now, what kind of a nation was Israel, were we? If we were Israel back then, what kind of a nation were we at the time? Were we an industrial nation? We were agricultural. We were farmers. We were, you know, worked off the land, that type of thing. So would that be kind of important to us? Getting rain? Okay. He says, then I will give you rain in due season. Why is that important? Yeah, you don't want rain in the wrong season. It'll flood the crops and everything, destroy them. So we need rain in due season. You know what you call that? You call that a physical blessing. That's a blessing. It's a physical blessing. Keep reading. He says, and I'll give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. In order for the land to yield her increase, what's the land got to get?
Rain.
See that? It's got to get the rain in appropriate season, okay? And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. That's all blessings. Those are physical blessings that we were promised. And your threshing shall reap unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. What's that all mean? You know what that means, Sarah? There's going to be so much production that when it comes time again next year to plant, you still got tons of fruit left over, tons of crops left over. All right? He says, and ye shall eat your bread in the full, and dwell in your land safely. So what else does he promise here? Land and physical protection. See, those are physical blessings. He says, and I will give peace. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Now, what's that about?
Protection.
Yeah, protection. That's actual blessing. You can sleep well at night, knowing your enemies aren't going to come and raid your house. Shall make and I will rid evil beasts out of the land. That's a physical blessing. That tigers and lions and bears are not going to come get you. You don't have to say, oh my. Right? He says, neither shall the sword go through your land, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. So you're going to be victorious if anybody does try to attack you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, and I will have respect unto you. What's that mean? God says, I'm going to have respect unto you. God, honor, what else? I'm going to have respect unto you. What else? I'm on your side. I'm going to watch out for you guys. See that? I'll have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you, and you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. So you got the new crops coming in, but you still got the old crops. You got so much abundance here. And I will set my tabernacle among you. What's that? He's going to dwell right among you. And my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. You know what these are? These are, not always, but most all these are material, physical blessings. Were there some spiritual blessings here? What were they? The very presence of God with them, to be their God, and they be his people. See that? But these are physical blessings here. That's pretty obvious, right? Look at another one with me, if you would. Go to Deuteronomy this time, chapter number 7. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. By the way, what did if we were Israel back then, and you're not, but if you were, if we were, those promises were great. What did we have to do to get those promises?
Oh,
we always had to obey the law, okay? That's all. No big deal, right? That was the problem, all right? But I want you just to see that when Paul in Ephesians talks about spiritual blessings, this is a definite contrast with other types of blessings. Spiritual blessings are not the only type of blessings that the Bible talks about. God made promises to other people, the nation of Israel specifically, of physical as well as spiritual blessings. All right? But I think it helps us to appreciate the nature and the fact of spiritual blessings if we remember the nature and type of physical blessings that were promised to the nation of Israel. Do you see what I'm trying to do here? Look with me at this passage in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Watch this, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, who's the people there? That's the people of Israel. So if that was us and we were living back then, would that be an encouragement to us? Yes. Why would it be an encouragement to us? What's implied in that promise that God, we're God's people, therefore? We're special. He's going to watch out for us. What'd you say? Yeah, we're under His care. We're His responsibility. See that? Let's keep reading. He says, the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Well, then why did the Lord choose us? If we were Israel back then, which we are not, but if we were, why did the Lord choose us? Look at the next verse. It had nothing to do with our goodness, our size, our ability to reproduce, our ability to produce crops. It says, but because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers. Who's that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did God choose the nation of Israel to be a special people above all the other nations on the face of the planet? How come? Because He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Keep that in mind. He says, but because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the house of Pharaoh, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Why did God bring us, if that was us, and it's not, but if it was, we're imagining we were Israel back then, why did God bring us out of Egypt? How come? Was it because we deserved it? Is it because we were so wonderful Israelites and so forth? How come? Why did He bring us out? He brought us out because He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It had nothing to do with our works. God sent Moses and redeemed us out of Egypt in no relationship of any kind to our works or performance. He did it because of a promise He made to someone else. See that there? Now He's going to add some things to this promise. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep the commandments to 1,000 generations and repayeth them that hate Him to their face, to destroy them. Question. If back up in verse 6, He separates Israel through Himself from all the nations of the earth, who was it that hated God at the time? So, guess who that was? That was the Gentiles. Keep that in mind. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. You got to keep that phrase in mind there. Let's keep going. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I commend thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which He sware unto thy fathers. And He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb. Now what's that? That's kids. So, are kids a blessing? Well, okay, let's keep going here. Okay, He also will bless the fruit of thy womb. By the way, think about it this way. In an agricultural type of society, why is it, other than what, because kids are so fun, so they always bring your heart, joy to your heart as parents, all the time, everything, you just love them all the time. But other than that, well, there you go. Workers. That's really helping hand around the farm. They got to milk the cows and so forth, kind of thing, you know. They got to go and swap the pigs, as they would say, right? Well, no, actually, they wouldn't, right here, right? How come they weren't supposed to do that right here? They didn't apply. Yeah, no. Okay. So He says, I will also bless the fruit of thy womb. That's a physical blessing. And the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy They're the flock of the sheep in the land which he swore unto their fathers to give it. Those are physical blessings, friends. Everybody see that? Those are. If you are an agricultural society, you depend upon crops. You depend upon your animals. The animals depend upon the crops. This is a promise of physical blessing in the earth. Keep reading. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. That's physical blessings, friends. They were going to have the best antibiotic on the face of the planet. It was called God. They wouldn't get those diseases. None of them that they saw in Egypt and they experienced back there in Egypt. See that? Isn't that incredible? And anyway, that's fine there. Okay. The reason I'm doing this is this. When you look at the promises he made to the nation of Israel, they were his people above all the people of the earth. He loved them, not because they were deserved of it, but because he made a promise to their fathers. He made a promise to someone else. He promised them physical blessings in what realm? This earth. Why did he promise them physical blessings? By the way, it also included spiritual blessings, as we said, because God himself was going to dwell among them and be their God, okay? But why did he promise them physical blessings, material blessings on this earth? How come on this earth? That's where the hope was, right? He promised physical land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, blessed be the God and Father of the nation of Israel, who promised to bless Israel with all physical blessings, according as he made promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them the earth, the land, from the foundation of the world. Do you see a parallel we're making here? There's an incredible difference when the Apostle Paul says, blessed be the God and Father who hath blessed us with all, what? Spiritual blessings in heaven. It's a different people taken from a different pool for a different purpose because of a different promise, a different realm of which you're a part of, the church of the body of Christ. And just as real as rain is, just as real as crops are, just as real as your children are, right? Just as real as protection from enemies, just as real as living in the land, the fruits, the water, the crops, the increase, just as real. The spiritual blessings that you and I have been given in Christ, we've already been blessed with, they are every bit as real. It's just they're spiritual. It doesn't mean they're non-real. It's just they're non-material. They're spiritual. So let's ask it this way. Let me just erase this up here really quick on the board. Yes, they are. You absolutely include inner man blessings. That's key, all right? So over here, you've got the nation of Israel, okay? Over here, you've got the body of Christ, right? And both, God promised blessings to both groups. The nation of Israel blessed on the earth, right? The body of Christ blessed in the heavenly places in Christ, right? Why did God promise to bless Israel? How come? Because he made a promise to someone else. And who was that? That was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? And so forth. Why did God bless the body of Christ? Because he made a promise to someone else. Who's that someone else? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, what do you say? That's right. See, Isaac, remember that? She read my notes. Actually, she wrote my notes. No, well, that's true, right? But that's exactly right. He forms the nation of Israel. He creates the body of Christ. See that? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So let's ask it this way. What, in order for Israel to function and be the nation, be the people that God intended and purposed for them to be on this earth, what are the most basic blessings they had to have? Okay, interesting, isn't it? Let's think about that. What are the most basic blessings they had to have in order to be God's people on the earth serving Him forever? What do they have to have? Okay, so basics. I mean, we talked food, okay? Food, water, shelter, okay, land. What else? Obviously, they had to have life, right? They had to live for... They had to have life, health, okay? Okay, interesting. Purpose. Protection from their enemies, okay? What else? Generation, so they had the procreation, right? Okay, the capacity to reproduce and so forth. Okay, what else? Anything else? The most basic things that they had to have that would be considered blessings in order for them to be the people of God on the earth forever. Anything else you can see there? A form of government. Isn't that right? They had to have an orderly structure in society and that type of thing. Hence, the statutes, the ordinances. Not just the commands, but the statutes and the ordinances. All right? Well, by comparison, where is the eternal destiny of the body of Christ? Okay, it's in the heavenly places, right? HP, heavenly places. That's not Hewlett-Packard, that's heavenly places. Okay? So think about this then. If you and I are gonna function in the heavenly places to the glory of God forever, what are the most basic blessings we need? What do we have to have? Let's go one at a time. Okay, what's that? Okay, you got, listen, the one you got right now ain't going to work out there. Okay? You have to have a new body. It was the Apostle Paul, look with me quickly through the 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and get Philippians chapter 3 here. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and Philippians chapter number 3. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and watch this. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 says this. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Paul is answering an objection here. This guy's kind of, the guy he's answering is just being a smart aleck. He's at work. Okay, Paul, you're so smart. How are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? He's answering the objection from a guy. Okay? Did I give you that reference there? 15, 35? But some men will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? He's going to talk about the resurrection body here. It's pretty cool. He says, thou fool, by the way, if you doubt the resurrection, you know what the first thing he calls you? Okay, let's keep reading. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. Life happens after death. That's amazing to think about that. That which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest, that sowest not that body that shall be. The body you take and stick in the ground when it's dead, it's dead. It's all shriveled up and dead. It's not working. It's ugly. The poor taxidermist, I guess that's the mortician, whatever. He's got to paint that thing up just to make it presentable. That's not the body you want to live in for eternity. That verse says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. You don't want that dead body. You don't want to go back into that dead, decrepit, corrupting body, do you? That which thou sowest, and thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, and may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth to the body, watch this now, as it has what? Pleased Him. That's similar to what Paul's saying. Blessed be God, please, He's happy to do this. He says, as it has pleased Him, and every seed His own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. Question, if men, beasts, fish, birds, if they all have flesh, it's all carbon-based, right? Well, then what's the difference between the kind of flesh of a man and the kind of flesh of a fish and the kind of flesh of a bird? What's the difference? Where they live, the realm in which they operate, right? There are also what? Celestial bodies and bodies, what? What's the difference? Heavenly, there it is. You see, in order, if your eternal destiny is the heavenly places, there's got to be a gigantic, major change to the body, your spirit and soul live in right now.
Thank God.
Okay? Amen to that, you know? What kind of body do you have to have? You've got to get a celestial body. Isn't that a great name, Celeste? Next time you see Celeste, don't give her a great big hug and say, "Boy, we sure missed you, Celeste. You make us think of our heavenly bodies, you know?" Right? Denise, you tell her we said so, okay? Anyway, that's just a great name. It says, celestial bodies. Keep reading. He says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory, that's like the capacity to shine and give off glory and so forth. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Everybody read that next sentence together with you. Ready? Here we go. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now, if you stop right there, what are some things that you know for sure about your resurrection body? It's going to be glorious. Okay? It's going to be a celestial body. It's going to be a body that's able to function out there in the heavenly places. Question, what kind of a body did the nation of Israel need? A terrestrial one. Why did they need that kind of a body? Because that's the realm of their interest. That's where they're going to function forever, right? You need a heavenly body because you're going to be occupied in the heavenly places. You're going to have a celestial body. Not only that, keep reading. He says, it is sown in what? It is raised in incorruption. That's a blessing. It's a spiritual blessing. The fact that the body that you are going to occupy is a celestial, hence the realm in which we're going to live, a glorious body, a body that has the capacity to magnify and manifest the glories of Christ in your inner man, and it's going to be a body that's incorruptible. Those are three spiritual blessings right there. And we got all of them. We're never going to get through this, right? Anyway, he says, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what? Glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what? Power. Those are spiritual blessings right there. Look at verse 49. Just jump ahead 49 here. Look at 49. He says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, do we?
Yes.
That's what we bear right now. We, look at that next word there. We shall. See the absolute guarantee there? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now compare that with Philippians 3 and tell me if that's not a spiritual blessing. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. At verse 20, he says this. Philippians 3:20, he says this. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus Christ right today, physically located? Where is he? He's in heaven at the Father's right hand. Now, where is he spiritually? He's in you by means of the Holy Spirit. Where is he coming from? Why? To get you, to take you there. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. You know what that is? That's a spiritual blessing. It's a blessing of ultimate proportions, I guess you'd say. Just staggering proportions to realize that one of the most basic yet profound spiritual blessings that you and I have been promised by God is these celestial bodies in which the glories of Christ will be magnified, raised in incorruption, in power, in glory, fashioned like unto His glorious body. And you'll occupy that body forever. It will not corrupt. It will not grow old. It will not need all these aids. You heard the joke when Brother Harold is now with the Lord. He comes to church one morning. Harold did this quite often. He'd come to church with a joke, and he said, "Man," he says, "I'm just so upset. I'm distraught and everything." I said, "Well, what's up, Harold? What's the problem?" And he said he was reading in the newspaper that the largest group in America that has AIDS are seniors. And he says, "I'm just afraid." I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Yeah, we've got hearing aids and walking aids and teeth aids and all these kinds of things." Oh, Harold, you know, but that was Harold, wasn't it? You guys knew Harold, you know? So, well, listen, that body we're going to have, it's sure, Never, no failure, no hurt, no pain, no shots, no medication, no cancer treatment, nothing like that at all. But a body that has the capacity to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, world without end. Amen. See that? Ages upon the ages. That's just one of the all spiritual blessings that we have. So one of them is that glorified body. Okay? What's another one we need? What's another spiritual blessing that you must have if you're going to live forever with God in His heaven? We're getting there, by the way. You write that down because you're going to have that. Something else that's at the most basic level. Most basic level. But there you go. Life and righteousness. You have to have life. What kind of life? You got to have eternal life. Eternal life, you have to have God's kind of life. Now listen, Israel was promised life as well, and they will have God's life. Right? In the kingdom, because they'll live forever. And they'll live forever in terrestrial bodies. But you have to have life. But not just any life. You have to have God's kind of life. How do you get that? Trust in the blood of Christ. And God gives it to you as a free gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So you have to have life. You have to have His kind of life. It's the only one that's going to last forever. And right with life, you have to have, somebody said it, righteousness. Whose righteousness do you have to have? That's right. You have to have the very righteousness of God Himself. And how do you have that? It's also a free gift. The Bible says that Christ is our righteousness. See that? What other kind of blessing do you have to have? What's another spiritual blessing that at the basic level that you have to have in order to live in heaven forever and serve God forever in heaven? What's that? You have to have purpose. Let's see. What do I mean by that? Why do you have to have purpose to live forever in heaven with God? He's got a plan for you to do something. We said before, if there's nothing to do up there, I'm going to get bored real fast. I mean, at least give me a dirt bike and some hills to jump, right? That kind of a thing, you know? Listen, you've got to have purpose. Right now, we, as humans, even as saints of the Most High God, we still struggle with the reality and meaning and purpose of life. We get glimpses of it, don't we? And then something sidetracks us. And then we get back into the Bible and unfocus, and then something sidetracks us again. Isn't that true? Listen, living forever in heaven with the righteousness of God, glorified body, we will never be sidetracked from the purpose and meaning of what the creation of life is about anyway. And it's a blessing that we will have that. What are some other blessings that are spiritual in nature that we have? I mean, I have a whole bunch listed here. Another one, you know what we're going to have? This is going to be wonderful. I don't know if you see that word. It's word relationship with who? That's right. The God of heaven and earth. This ongoing, non-stop, non-breakable, continuing, eternal, blessed relationship and fellowship with the God of heaven and earth. And the capacity to enjoy that, to really delve into it, to dive into it, to experience that relationship. Now, can you experience that to some degree here now? Yes, and you should. But what's the problem here now? Us, that's right. It's limited, not because of God, but because of our flesh and living here in the fallen world and so forth. One of the blessings that He has already blessed us with right now is what we call the sonship relationship. This relationship with the Father, He deals with us as complete, full-grown sons with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're already in that relationship. And the only reason that we don't experience the full now, again, is because we have this flesh, we live in the fallen world, we get sidetracked, that type of thing. But He's already blessed us with that. Think about the idea of communion. I don't mean a little round wafer. I'm talking about the fellowship, right? The communion, the enjoyment. What I want you to do this week, because we're out of time, I want you just to go and think about and make a list of at least 25 blessings that are spiritual in nature that you have already been blessed with because you're in Christ. Okay, everybody can do that? Let's have a show of hands. Better not do that, right? but bring it back with you next week, would you? Make a list of at least 25 blessings that are spiritual in nature in connection with the heavenly places that you have already been blessed with by the Father because of your being in the body of Christ. And then we'll talk about that next time. Okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you that we can spend some time thinking about these things, and especially since you've written them down right here in your Word, and hence we can trust that they are so, because they are so. We don't need to look hither and yon, far and wide, to find these blessings, because they're right here in your Word. You tell us these things that mean so much to you, that you've given us to freely, given to us freely in the Lord Jesus Christ, just because of faith in His shed blood, what He did for us. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.
We want to close with hymn number 50. And while you're finding your place, I got a report about Brother Richard off the internet. He attended Shorewood for the first time this morning.
Wow.
He said he looked good.
That's fantastic.
We're going to close with hymn number 50.